This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to The Educated Investor. My name is Scott Watley. We are glad you are with us. Cishan Financial with the Householder Group right here in the Greenwood Village area. Their number is 720-482-1917. 720-482-1917. CishanFinancial.com is their website. And once again, glad to have David Cishan in studio. David, how are you?
I'm fine, Scott. Nice to be here.
Great to see you, sir. And also, Stephanie Cishan Bruno joins us. So, Stephanie, great to have you.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So good to see you guys. And I tell you, I love doing these shows. And, you know, I meet people and they come up and they go, man, I've never heard that or thought about that, or my financial planner hadn't talked about that. And so we're going to talk about today the fears of retirement. And first of all, man, it just... Hopefully the 60 is the new 40. Because, I mean, man, when you think you're a senior and you're 60, you're 40 or 60, I mean, it just feels so weird. I think I told you guys, Memorial Day last year, I got a ticket for speeding. Oh. And officer came up, and I was really trying to, I had a bunch of donuts in my car, really. I was taking them somewhere,
oh,
and I said,
gosh,
hey, can I trade you these four dozen Krispy Kremes? No. And he laughed, thank goodness. But anyway, I was like, he came back, and he goes, you know what, you hadn't had a ticket in a while. He goes, you do qualify for our senior citizen driving class. And I'm like,
oh, no.
Dude, write me a ticket. Don't tell me I qualify. So I had to watch these like 8 hours of videos of old people driving and not doing. Yeah. And checking off each module of the video you watch. But then the ticket went away and I had no court cost and I just had to pay $25 for the course. So it was worth it from the financial standpoint. But man, when he said you qualify for the senior citizen driving thing, you know, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So what I'm saying is it sneaks up on us. So
boy, yeah.
When it does, and man, you haven't planned too well or your plans went awry for one reason or another, there are a lot of fears out there, David, and I'm sure you talk to people every day that share this with you.
Well, I do, and you know, some people will talk about fears, and it's kind of similar to risk, too. A lot of them are scared of the risk that they're facing in retirement and the fear, and probably the biggest fear is the fact that clients are worried that their account balances in retirement are going to fall to zero before their blood pressure. We have longevity,
right,
that we're facing in retirement like never before. When I first started my practice way back, if people retired at 65 and lived to 72, it's a big deal. Now, people are retiring and they're living to 80, 85, 90, 95. And statistics say that an average couple or a 65 married couple, there's like a 33% chance that one of them is going to live to 95.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look at that. When you start looking at that with people that come in and you say, you know, you're 65, you got 30 years, 35 years in retirement maybe. All right, do you have the income to right. cover it? The biggest fear most people have, outside of things like, you know, health care,
sure,
you know, that are going to plague us, but the biggest fear is having enough cash flow, just like when you were working before retirement. The reason that people can do what they want to do is because they had the cash flow. They had the money coming in. Their paycheck came in every month or every week. And when you got to retirement and all of a sudden there's no paycheck, there could be Social Security. That's a paycheck.
Right.
Pension.
Pension is a paycheck. And, of course, those two checks normally are in the foundation of your financial house, and they're secure normally. Mm-hmm. And as long as couples have enough cash flow to pay for those monthly expenses that they deem absolutely necessary, cover those, it takes the pressure off. Some clients need 100% of those expenses covered.
Sure.
Before they can relax. Mm-hmm. Others, because of their asset base and other things that they might have, they might only need 25% or 50% of those fixed expenses covered. But most people are concerned because of the longevity that they're facing. They don't know how long they're going to live and how long they're going to need that money. But that income is critical to making sure every month on the 15th or the 12th or whenever the checks come in, they can cover their expenses. That takes the pressure off of them tremendously. Without that, retirement is really not a good thing. Very difficult for them.
So, Stephanie, let me ask you this. I mean, and David, you can chime in after her. So, and but have most people been to some type of financial planner before they come to you guys?
Yes.
A lot of times. And what do you hear? I mean, after you guys meet, and then maybe they do something with you, they don't. But then let's say they do some planning with you guys, and you get to know them a little better. What are just some of the comments of what you think sets you guys apart?
Well, I think they like our approach to plan, helping them plan for their retirement. They like David's. David's very knowledgeable. He explains things in a very clear fashion. He doesn't rush things. We kind of like to take our time. We're very thorough with everybody that comes in. I mean, they're not all a cookie cutter mold of each other.
Sure.
Everybody's different. So I think making sure everybody's comfortable, everybody gets along, you have to like each other. But definitely people are very grateful for David's patience and kind of making things very simple and making it so that everybody can kind of understand what's in front of them, what they're seeing, how to map it out. He does that really well.
And I think the it's the systematic approach that people will comment on that they don't get in other places. We have a system down. We take clients through the same thing. Everything that we do with a client is in writing. It's not verbally expressed and then forgotten. And people like that. They comment on that. And again, it's the approach. It's a series of meetings. And then after those meetings, we put things in writing so that they can follow it. Again, education is critical to people, especially dealing with their money. I mean, there's so many stories out there.
Yeah, this is a big deal, man.
It is.
There's no other
way
to put it.
It's like your health, you know?
And so we try to respect that because that's what I would want for myself, is to try to make sure that they understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. And what better way is just to put it in simple little reports in writing so that there's no misconception. And if there is, we can address it right away. And I think that's what most of the people like because that's not what their experience has been. As a matter of fact, one of your folks referred a client, a prospect to us and came in just recently. And they told us about their current advisors. And the only time they get any contact with them is once or twice a year when they want to move monies around. They don't even explain why. I mean, they'll say something apparently, but not enough. So they're confused. Well, it's hard to be comfortable with anybody if you're confused.
True. I don't know if you've seen that ad that's on TV where the doctor's walking down the hallway and he comes in the surgeon's deal and he goes, well, guess who just got the license back or whatever, you know? I mean, you know, you don't want that guy. And here's the thing, folks. There's a lot of things that happen. I mean, I had a doctor friend the other day that I just saw in the news that lost his license after a death of a patient. And you just don't know what's going on with people, okay? And when you have someone like yourself that's been doing it all these years, has an outstanding track record, and, you know, tons of happy clients, I mean, it means if you want to take out one thing of the fear part of this, pick the right financial planner for you, right? I mean, that's where it starts.
And of course, people have resources to check. You know, you can go online to the Financial Regulatory Authority, FINRA. You can go online to the Securities and Exchange Commission. You can go online to state banking commissioners. I mean, there are resources that you can check so that you don't get in a situation that you're going to regret. You know, and I think it's wise that people do that kind of thing, and yet so few people do it. And it's because variety of reasons, but some people get into problems because, well, this person was in my organization. This person was in my class.
This
family friend was referred to us, or was in our church, or whatever the case might be. And then they don't go any further. Mm-hmm. And you can see, I mean, in the paper here in Denver over the last several years, there has been a number of situations where people did things to the general public to raise money and put it in their pocket. And there are simple things that most people can do to prevent that.
Right.
But they don't.
Right. And, you know, you use the term fiduciary. And if you're not familiar with that as a listener, explain, you know, from a technical term. But I don't know. That's just kind of the way you've always been, too, is just doing the right thing for the client, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the term fiduciary is a term that you have to respect because you put the client number one, and you have to do what's in the client's best interest. You just can't do something for the client that's suitable. And the government has tried over the years to come out with new laws that make any advisor, broker, whatever, a fiduciary. And of course, it's been pushed off with the new administration. And except for retirement advisors, and but we've always been a fiduciary. We've always put the client's interest first, based on what they're telling us. That's why it's so important in my practice to make sure I have things down in writing. Mm-hmm. People tell us things, and I have to go on what they tell.
Sure.
But as we've seen many times, once people become clients, we meet with them frequently along the way because sometimes what they're telling us really isn't what they are feeling or really what they want. So it takes some time to get it.
Sure.
And once we get it, again, it's in writing.
Mm-hmm. Good point to end on there. So once again, you've been listening to The Educated Investor with Cishan Financial. Glad to have David in studio as well as Stephanie. So, Stephanie, thank you.
You're welcome.
Give them a call, folks, and hey, it's a free consultation. I will tell you this, very few things go well without proper planning. And this is something you need to plan for. And hope you'll give them a call. Again, these are great, great people. I promise you they'll take great care of you. But give them a call, 720-482-1917, cishanfinancial.com. Once again, they're with the Householder Group. Have you been considering an RV, or are you looking for a place that will help you keep your RV in top condition? Let me tell you about my friends at Cousins RV. They've got three convenient locations to serve you in Loveland, Wheat Ridge, and Colorado Springs, which includes full parts and service departments at all three locations. Cousins RV is locally owned and operated by Jim Humble and Drew Bryant with over 40 years in the RV industry. Cousins RV offers the top manufacturers in the industry, and they have a huge selection of pre-owned RVs at every price point. Service is key at Cousins RV, and they can handle any repair, even offering a mobile RV service. Hey, we all know accidents can happen, and at Cousins RV, they have their own collision center with a paint booth to fit the largest of RVs. Come to the place that has the best Google reviews from any RV dealer in Colorado and ranks number one in customer satisfaction. Owners Jim and Drew are on site daily. Be sure and let them know you heard about them here on Haystack Help Radio.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality eye and vision care for over 50 years. Stack Optical is a family-owned business, and they're proud to be one of the few optical offices that have their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Your one-stop shop for all of your vision needs, eye exams, glasses, and contacts. And don't forget about the Stack Sports Pack. Let owner and certified optician Alan Stack customize a pair of specialized glasses that will make your next outing on the golf course or on the gun range better than ever before. Call today for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Or check them out at stackoptical.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Knowledge in Reverse, brought to you by Steve Hurley and Affordable Interest Mortgage. As the old saying goes, knowledge is power. And in the world of reverse mortgages, this knowledge is critical. Now, welcome to Knowledge in Reverse.
Welcome to Knowledge in Reverse. My name is Scott Watley. We are glad you're with us today, joined alongside Kurt Rogers, owner of Affordable Interest Mortgage. Our show is brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage and Mr. Steve Hurley. Steve is a reverse mortgage specialist. And Kurt, glad to have you in again today.
It's very nice to be here. It's another beautiful day in Colorado.
It absolutely is. And we are glad to have some good clients of Steve Hurley's join us on the line today. We've got Larry and Betsy Porter. So, folks, how are y'all doing today?
Really?
Doing good.
So, Larry, we wanted to get you and Betsy on and just kind of talk with you about reverse mortgage. And we can kind of start at the beginning. First of all, it's finding someone you can trust and someone that you feel good talking with and sharing a lot of information about yourself. So, Larry, take just a minute and tell us, you know, how you found Mr. Hurley and Affordable Interest Mortgage, and just tell us anything you would like about that.
Well, I started looking into it about 3 years before we actually did it, and I'd seen ads on the TV, and I forget exactly how I got a hold of Steve. I saw his name somewhere, got his phone number somewhere. And we talked it over that time, and then I didn't go ahead with it, which I'm sorry I didn't, but that's history, you know.
Sure.
And so then when I made the decision, Betsy had a stroke and had to quit her work, and we were going to try to keep what money we had saved up fairly safe. So when I made the decision to try to do it, I got a hold of Steve again, and he set us up.
So, wow. Well, that's great.
Now, yeah. I've known Steve for quite a while. Explain to me what do you like about Steve? What did he do that made you decide that he was the guy you wanted to go forward with?
Well, when I talked to him the first time, he sent me his card and said, it's okay that you're not going to do it now. If you ever want to do it, though, please give me a call. So I automatically give him a call. And then when he always came out to our house and handled everything from here. We didn't have to go in town or anything.
Wow.
We did everything with him here or by phone.
Well, that made it much easier. Now, you had thought about it for 3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Betsy, can you tell us what attracted you to the reverse? What made you decide that was the reverse mortgage was the product you wanted for you?
Well, it was easy. And it worked for us completely.
There was an issue. Larry was saying that you had a stroke and you retired. So
right.
You were trying to supplement your income?
Yes, yeah. That income was gone. And there was things that we still wanted to do. We wanted to do a little traveling and just feel financially secure as we both were in retirement.
That's great. And Betsy, you know, it's always great too. I mean, all of us want to stay in our home as long as we can too. And it's great how the reverse mortgage works is, you know, you still own your home just like you do. Because there's so many people out there that, you know, have gotten some bad information. So, you know, you own your home just like you do if you had a regular mortgage on it, you know.
And I'm still surrounded by all my stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of it.
Wow. Well, that's good. Yeah. We are speaking with Larry Porter and Betsy, and they are clients of Steve Hurley's. And if you'd like to call Steve, give him a call, 303-885-0254. It is a free consultation, and as these fine folks have said, Steve will come to you, and that will help you and sit down with you. And Betsy, you know, let's talk about just explaining it, because as we said, sometimes there's some misinformation out there, and sometimes, you know, people just don't understand all the reverse mortgage can do for you. Kind of talk about, you know, Steve coming out and sitting down with you that first time and just kind of explaining everything.
Well, he did a very good, thorough job, and there was a lot about it that I had not understood. Larry had done most of the studying on it, and I didn't know that we could live here as long as we wanted to. And the responsibility of house payments was gone, and there was some cash available for traveling or whatever we needed. And it's just a very simple, easy way to live in retirement or old age, still live in your house, and be happy.
Yeah, it kind of takes the pressure off of using your retirement money to continue to make a house payment.
Right.
Yep.
Now, Larry, how long have you guys had this loan?
How long was what?
How long have you had the reverse mortgage?
Only about 2 years.
Okay.
A little over 2 years, actually. About 2 years ago is when they actually finalized it.
Now, another question I have. You guys, Betsy mentioned that you got some cash out, or have you, when you closed on the loan, did they give you cash up front, or did you get it later?
We got cash up front. We could have got a lot more than we took, but that other cash is still laying there. We just haven't had to tap into it.
So that's kind of a point I wanted to bring up. That's a kind of a benefit. You didn't have to take the cash out. You can let it sit there, and it grows.
Right.
And it grows as you go along, right?
Right. Exactly.
Now.
And there's quite a few options on that. That's just the way we chose to do it.
There are quite a few options. You're right. Now,
yeah.
Betsy also mentioned that one of the reasons you wanted to do this was travel. So in the 2 years, have you traveled any? And if so, where?
Some. We haven't traveled as much as we really would like to. Well, let's put it this way. We haven't traveled quite as much as Betsy would like to.
Right. Now, Betsy, what's on your bucket list? Where do you want to go?
I want to go to Branson.
Branson, all right.
Well, I love that.
Yeah, that's a great place.
We've been down there a few times. She wants to go back, and we probably will do that this spring sometime.
Well, I tell you what, I've got a great sponsor, Cousins RV. They'll hook you up with an RV, and you guys can just hit the road.
Well, we've got our own RV.
Okay,
so.
All right.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
deal.
Yeah.
So, Betsy, this kind of, you know, the whole idea, sometimes people, you know, really, really have a need, you know, of money, or maybe fixing their house or whatever the case may be.
Right.
But talk about just the peace of mind that this gave you. Once you got it, you know, it's just nice to know you've got something there in case you need it, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, it's like a savings account as far as the cash goes, and it took all the pressure off our monthly incomes, and for me it was a big relief,
right?
Because when I left work, of course, my income was gone.
Sure.
So it sounds like Larry retired before you did, Betsy.
Yes, he did.
He got
look
you.
At that, Larry.
Larry, what are you doing?
I've been retired forever.
yeah. And Larry, you know, hey, this means a lot to you too. I mean, man.
Oh, absolutely.
How long have y'all been married?
We're coming up to 64 years.
64 years. So, Larry, yeah. When you look at this, and you guys worked hard all your life, and you know, this is something that it's nice to just be able to fall back on and know that you guys earn this, so to speak, to just have this time of relaxation and have some money, right?
Absolutely. And we'd made payments on, we bought this in 95, and so we did it 2 years ago. So we'd made some good, we had to pay down pretty well. That's another reason it worked good for us, you know?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yep. Larry, when you did your research, what did you learn in the research that you didn't know about or you thought was that you had been taught that was incorrect that Steve talked to you about?
Well, you know, I thought, and this is what I said, the day, and I guess I can say this on the air, the day that we actually signed all the papers, Steve and a CPA came out, and we sat at the table, and we got all done, and Steve says, "How do you feel, Larry?" I said, "I think I just give my house to the government." And he said, "Now, Larry, you know better than that. I've been through all of it." So I didn't realize, you know, that we can stay here as long as we're alive.
Sure.
And then the kids have the opportunity to sell it and pay off, and if there should be some cash in there for them, too. And one thing we did was we talked to the kids first, because I thought maybe one of them would always want this place, but nobody was very interested in it. Yeah. So that just cut me loose to do whatever I felt I wanted to do. And so the reverse mortgage worked great for us.
Right. And this is that's a great point, because I think sometimes, you know, I mean, hey, we all have to be careful out there. There's a lot of shysters out there, you know.
Amen.
And boy,
amen,
to have somebody that you can trust, Steve. And I mean, hey, and Steve has always said, hey, you can bring your CPA, your attorney, your kids, whatever. I mean, this is something where he wants everybody to know what's going on and what to
exactly.
expect. And if anybody's got questions, they're there to answer them for you.
He's a very upfront guy.
And Larry, I respect you for saying that you sat down with your kids prior, because I thought the same thing. One of my kids would want my house, but after the conversation with them, they don't want the house. They want what's in it.
Well, we're praying that they'll take what's in it, but I don't know.
Because sometimes we collect way too much stuff.
Oh, we have. That's for sure.
Well, Larry and Betsy, hey, we appreciate you coming on and just, you know, hey, this is unscripted, and just getting your opinion and getting, you know, how a reverse mortgage was able to help you guys. So we appreciate your time, and thank you for your kindness and coming on the show today. We appreciate it.
You're quite welcome.
It's our pleasure.
All right. Well, y'all
take
care. And that is Larry and Betsy Porter. And you know what? Hey, you can tell this is something that was of great help to them. And Steve Hurley will be glad to give you, you know, come out, sit down with you. And as they mentioned, hey, get your kids, get your attorney, get your CPA, get whoever you want to get there to come. Steve will answer your questions and figure out if a reverse mortgage is right for you. Steve's number, 303-885-0254. So, Kurt, thank you very much, sir.
It was a pleasure talking with those folks. They just showed you. You know, with all the hard work, what it can do for you and how you can get it back.
Absolutely. Call Steve right now, 303-885-0254.
You've been listening to Knowledge in Reverse, brought to you by Steve Hurley and Affordable Interest Mortgage. If you would like more information about a reverse mortgage, call Steve now at 303-885-0254. That's 303-885-0254. Regulated by DORA, Equal Credit Lender, NMLS 298191.
It's Pet Dental Health Month at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, and they are celebrating oral health for pets all through the month of February. Free oral screens will be offered by their technicians in the lobby, and when your dog or cat receives a dental procedure, you'll be entered into their special dental health gift basket drawing. You'll earn reward points at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center when you download their free app. Hey, this is Scott Watley for Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, and we've trusted our pets' care to this great staff since 2003. Call today and schedule your pet for their dental care, 303-708-8050. That's 308-708-8050. Check out their great blogs at LoneTreeVet.com.
Hi, Jack Corgan. Shopping for a new car can be a harrowing experience unless you use my favorite car dealer, Len Lyles Chevrolet, just east of I-225 on Colfax, 15 minutes from anywhere. I've worked with them for more than 12 years, and I promise you, Len Lyles is not your typical car dealership. Check out their excellent reviews on Google. They are respectful of your time, not high pressure, and have very progressive pricing, because low overhead really does mean lower prices. Len Lyles Chevrolet, go east and pay the least.
Chevy. Find new roads.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Health Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we'd like to welcome you to Your Health Matters. Again, my name is Scott Whatley. Thank you so much for being with us. Glad to have Dr. Shane Stedman with us. Integrated Health Systems is the company. IntegratedHealthDenver.com is the website. Once again, their number. And we always give this out early on because, you know what, you may hear something during the show and you think, I want to call right now. We don't want you to have to wait. So call 303-781-5617. It is a free consultation when you mention Your Health Matters. And with that, we'll welcome Dr. Stedman. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Scott. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm taking all my stuff that you gave me, my vitamin D and I don't know, whatever, all those other few things. And you know what? Once you get in a routine, it's pretty easy to do. So I'm looking forward to seeing what that's going to do for me. So I'm sure it's going to help a lot. And I appreciate you going through that blood work with me. I tell you, you know, and I think kind of want to just start there for a minute. When we talk about what we're going to talk about today, I mean, I think the reason why there's so many people out there not getting the right diagnosis is because they're not starting out with someone like yourself that knows how to run the right blood work. What do you think?
That happens a lot. You know, it's kind of laughing, almost sound like office space to that guy. Yeah. you know, I think it's something that we see out there quite a bit. You know, we ask everybody, hey, let me see the blood work that's ran. And a lot of people go, oh no, it's really thorough. And then they look at it and they're like, never mind, it's not thorough. Sorry. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to run some blood work. Or I think it's always fascinating just kind of like what the patient's symptoms are and what gets ran doesn't always tend to match up. It's just interesting. And I think that blood work is really inexpensive at the end of the day. It's one of the cheapest things that you can run and get the most amount of information.
Sure.
You know, so I wish more and more in the kind of traditional medical sense, you would see a lot more blood work being ran, or at least more comprehensive values, because I think it tells a story. So I like it. I love running blood work.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Shane Stedman is with us. Our topic today, we're going to talk about, you know, we've talked about autoimmune issues, so to speak. We've talked about diabetes, and today we're going to merge those two terms and talk about autoimmune diabetes. So this is something that hopefully will give you a better understanding of just the different types and different symptoms and all those things that we can maybe help you get on a better path to feeling better with Dr. Stedman. So Let's just talk about merging those two, the autoimmune diabetes, and what's that influenced by and all that, and who you seeing it affecting.
Absolutely. You know, I think this is a great topic for if you know somebody who has diabetes. I think one of the things that people don't realize is that there's diabetes and then there's autoimmune diabetes. And it doesn't seem like that really gets talked about very much kind of in this whole medical system. Mm-hmm. You know, they just tell you have diabetes, and if a medication works, great, and if it doesn't, then they go to insulin. You know, but sometimes there's a reason why you actually have to take insulin, and that's because of the autoimmune component. So we'll kind of, I'll talk about the different diabetes, because I think they'll help a lot of these people. If you have a family, loved one, spouse, friends, you know, somebody like that has diabetes, we'll kind of walk through the differences. So there's the type 1, and this is what you see in kids. You know, so they always call it juvenile diabetes. And right. This is an autoimmune condition in kids. So in a kid, something happened that triggered your immune system to attack the pancreas. And within the pancreas, there's different types of cells. And so you have what's called like islet cells that your body can actually attack, or you can actually attack the hormone. And so something happens when you're a little kid that your immune system did not like, and so it, like, turned on you, and it turned on a certain system. And these things, you can see it with, like, a kid who got like the norovirus or RSV, or they caught the flu, or they got strep really bad, or there's a lot of stress. And so you see like something like this in kids where all of a sudden the immune system is like, I'm not having it. And so so it tries to attack like a virus, for instance, but then it kind of gets a little bit overzealous, and then it starts to attack these cells in the pancreas. And once you start attacking the cells in the pancreas, you can't produce the insulin the way that you would like. So every time you eat something, you know, even if you're like, hey, I want a bagel, you know, for breakfast, you know, then your immune system, well, then your blood sugar goes up, but you can't stimulate enough insulin to like get the blood sugar to come down. Mm-hmm. So the blood sugar just gets higher and higher and higher and higher. And then you go to the doc and they're like, hey, you got type one. And then you get put on an insulin pump. But I would love to propose, and it's going to be the same way we talked about adults, is I would love to propose that, can you figure out, was there a trigger or was there something that flipped the switch that this little kid became type 1 diabetic? So now we fast forward into some adults. So we get an adult who, let's say, just inactive, very, very stressed, doesn't eat very well, and all of a sudden their glucose goes really high to, like, you know, we'll say like 200.
Right.
So then you go to the doc and they say, well, you have diabetes and you have type 2. And they label type 2 because it's usually what's found in adults. And it's usually due to like inactivity or not eating properly. Sometimes stress and inflammation can contribute. But you say, okay, your blood sugar is just way too high. But then there's these like groups of type 2 diabetics that don't respond well to medication. And you try to figure out, well, why is that and what's that group? Well, that group then can actually move on, or you do see almost a third, another group in adults, they call like, this is your autoimmune diabetes. So they actually call it type 1.5. So it's kind of like your kids, but it's only found in adults. So you can be perfectly normal, everything is going great, and then boom, all of a sudden you have this diabetes. But what really throws off the doctors is that you might be 180 pounds and your glucose is 350. So they go, well, this doesn't really make sense, because usually we see high blood sugar with people who don't have good weight. So mm-hmm. what makes this person different? And that's where you get into the autoimmunity. So the same mechanism can happen in adults where maybe you caught the flu, you caught a virus, you got Epstein-Barr virus or mono or something happened that triggered your immune system to attack your pancreas as an adult. So now you're eating salads, you're eating everything healthy, you're working out at the gym, but you have this blood sugar at 300. That's when we start looking at type 1.5, and this is your autoimmune. So you can have autoimmune in kids, and you can have an autoimmune in adults.
Wow. Dr. Shane Steadman's our guest, Integrated Health Systems. If you've got any questions, we'll open up the phone lines, 303-477-5600 for Dr. Steadman, if you'd like to ask a question. And so let me ask you this. Sometimes in just doing some of the research, once you kind of give me a topic, I put in, is type 2 diabetes autoimmune? And here's the answer that came up, and we'll see if it's true or not. It said, in the last decade, researchers have tested the idea that type 2 diabetes is an autoimmune disease similar to type 1, and they have found evidence that insulin resistance may be the result of the immune system cells attacking the body's tissues.
Yeah,
your thoughts.
So I agree. And this, they actually show that, I believe it's like 20% of type 2 diabetes is actually type 1.5. Or another way of saying it is that 20% of type 2 is actually autoimmune. And those tend to be the people that just don't respond to kind of traditional diabetic meds. And even in a holistic world like my world, we actually find that those patients that are autoimmune don't respond to traditional blood sugar supplements, you know, and I think one of the first cases I had years ago was I had another doctor refer a patient to the office. They're like, I can't get this patient's blood sugar under control. You know, I tried this company, this formula, this one. And you go, well, it means it's not a blood sugar issue. It means it's more of an autoimmunity. So then there's actually markers you can run, but those are the patients that get stumped, that they're doing everything right, you know, and the doctors go, well, you must not be doing anything right because your blood sugar is so high. So you must be cheating. Where are you cheating? You know, and it's almost like this, like you're doing something wrong. And they're like, I'm doing everything right.
Right.
If you're doing everything right and medications or supplements are not working, it's most likely it could be autoimmune.
Wow. So, I mean, I think it's a pretty clear statement. Diabetes can't be cured. And I know we stay away from that word, but I mean, is it something that you can put into almost like a remission, or are there ways to, again, maybe using the wrong word here, reverse some of the things that are happening because you've got type 1 or type 2?
You know, with the type 2 diabetes, you can make a pretty serious dent. You know, you can actually, you can do some really cool stuff with type 2, because if you change their lifestyle, if you change their diets, you know, you get them exercising, they're losing some weight, they're reducing their cortisol, you know, you can make some serious dents in type 2 diabetes. But it definitely takes a lot of work on the patient's part. You know, it's not a magic bullet approach. And sometimes I know there's people that are looking for that. But in type 2, I think to become successful, it's a lot of work on the patient's part to change their life. You know, so, I mean, I've seen some amazing stories over the years where people have been great. They didn't need their medication. Their doctors took them off it. The blood sugar is stable. They're eating healthy. They've lost weight, on and on and on and on and on. So that's your type 2. I think with autoimmune, it gets harder, you know, to make that go back, you know, because you have this immune response that is a little bit finicky. But there is some really cool stuff you can do even from a management standpoint. I know at the Barbara Davis Center here in Colorado, I mean, they're doing a study between diabetes and celiac disease. You know, so with the kids, they'll actually test for free, you know, because they've actually found a really strong link between celiac and diabetes. And they've also found a strong link between, like, consuming wheat, you know, which is celiac, and diabetes. And there's also a strong correlation between dairy and autoimmune diabetes. You know, so if somebody was to stop eating wheat and stop eating dairy, you know, and then changing their lifestyle and changing their habits and things like that, I mean, that can even make an autoimmune type of diabetic have a lesser of a need for insulin. So I think there's a lot of hope that can be done. You know, I think with type 2, definitely way more because there's a lifestyle diet component. The autoimmune diabetes, that's, you're looking at, like, can, you know, especially people that have those pumps that monitor. I've seen a lot of patients where they, you know, they check their pump and their monitors and they go, wow, my body didn't need as much insulin today. It's like, yeah, because everything was clicking the way it should be and your immune system wasn't, you know, up in arms and attacking you throughout the day.
Sure, sure. And you know what? This is one of the cool things I think about, you know, integrated health systems is I'm not going to come to you, figure out all this stuff, and then I have to go somewhere else for someone to help me possibly with nutrition that may believe in the philosophy that you're doing or not, or even understanding it all correctly. And so having everything right there under one roof where you visit every day with your staff on each patient, man, the chance for success has to be much higher when it's done that way.
I agree. And I mean, that's why we do it. It's like, I mean, you want to come to work to make a difference, you know? So it's nice to have a team of other practitioners in the office where you bounce ideas off of and say, what do you think? And yeah. And I think with diabetes, it's especially autoimmunity. Autoimmune is not an easy thing to work with. You know,
sure.
It's like there are days when, I mean, we are flying high, you know, rocking and rolling on cloud 9. And then there's other days where you're like, can I go home early? Because I'm just getting my butt kicked, you know? And it's not easy to deal with autoimmunity. And there's so many different types of triggers. I mean, if we look at autoimmune diabetes, I mean, you could have a food allergy that's a trigger. You could have a virus that's a trigger. There's so many things that something had to piss off your immune system. I mean, it's probably not a good term to use on radio, but something made your immune system so mad that it started attacking your tissues and causing a lot of identity, you know, had identity issues and started attacking yourself. And that's what we're trying to figure out is what caused that. And if we can figure that out and then manage the patient where they're at, you can see some really cool things happen.
Right. So all these autoimmune issues, diseases, whatever we want to call it, that's going to mess automatically with your blood sugar. And then when you look at all the stuff that the autoimmune antibodies and all that that attack the insulin. It almost just seems like a vicious cycle if you don't get this diagnosed right.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think what's also fascinating, too, that most people don't know is there, some of these markers that are associated with autoimmune diabetes are also markers associated with, like, anxiety disorders and balance disorders. You know, so you can actually have one marker and somebody goes, I have high glucose, I have balance issues, and I have OCD. And you're like, oh, my gosh, there's one marker that's involved in all three of those areas. You know, so you can see what they call, like, comorbidities where people have diabetes and celiac, diabetes and balance, diabetes and anxiety. You know, it's like it's all intertwined. You can't just separate it out. And I think that's what happens a lot of times is they separate it, put it on an island by itself and say, well, let's treat this problem instead of let's treat the person.
Right. Absolutely. Now, in my research again and show prep, I had looked up and some terms came up that I had not really caught on to before. And one was called LADA, L-A-D-A, and they called it a latent autoimmune diabetes in adults, and they said, which is a slow progressing form of autoimmune diabetes. So take a few minutes on that.
So that's your autoimmune 1.5. So they call it like LADA or LADA,
okay,
or LADA, or latent autoimmune diabetes in adults. So this slow progression is kind of what I've seen clinically is you have somebody who is type 2, and it's almost like a type 2 diabetic that turns into an autoimmune diabetes. And when you think about it, like insulin is very inflammatory. To have a lot of glucose is inflammatory. If you're overweight, that's inflammatory. So you have all of these inflammatory things that are just hitting your immune system left and right and left and right and all day long. And before you know it, over time, you go from being type 2 to being autoimmune. And so this is when you sometimes will hear stories where people are like, yeah, I used to take this medication and it worked and worked and worked and worked. And all of a sudden that medication didn't work. So my doctor tried another one, tried another one, tried another one. None of them worked. So now I'm on insulin. And kind of when I hear that story, when people are like, it worked, it didn't. And now I'm on insulin. I'm thinking, oh, I think you just went from like type 2 to autoimmune, which means that your body is just so inflamed that your immune system is up in arms all day long trying to help you, but now it's just losing control, and now you're going to attack a tissue.
Right. So does this, again, I'm just using that term, that LADA, does that sometimes get mixed up with type 2 diabetes, and that's why it can be sometimes mistakenly diagnosed?
Yes, for sure, because there's not a lot of docs out there that actually test for autoimmune diabetes. I've seen very few over my career, and I don't really understand that, because I think in my office whenever we get somebody who's like type 2 diabetes, I automatically run, there's three markers. You run three markers, and that's going to tell you are they autoimmune or are they type 2. So I think most people are assumed to be type 2 I don't even think they get tested. They just say, well, if you don't do well in meds, we'll put you on insulin.
Sure.
So then the person is just on insulin for the rest of their life, and so that they still don't get tested. And it's sometimes just nice to test because, I mean, if you're going to be on insulin, you'd probably want to be on the least amount that you need. You know, so trying to figure out the autoimmunity and trying to figure out the diet would be super smart. But I've even had patients, and it kind of frustrates me a little bit, but I've had patients that go, well, I can eat whatever I want because I'm taking insulin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, sure, but that's not the goal in life, is to eat what you want because you have a pump.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no doubt. And then there was another term that came up, and is it MODY, M-O-D-Y, and LADA? And it said, what's the difference between this? And this one said a maturity onset diabetes of the young, MODY 2 and MODY 3 are the most common forms.
Ooh, man, you brought up something
here's what it says. It says MODY, M-O-D-Y, should not be confused with latent autoimmune diabetes of adults. LADA, a form of type 1, with slower progression to insulin dependence than child onset type 1, and which occurs later in life. The most common types of this MODY, and man, this really gets into your doctor world here, you're going to love it, HNF1 alpha, this gene causes about 70% of cases of MODY. And then it says HNF4-alpha. This isn't as common as the other forms of MODY. Yeah. So we'll look into that.
Man, you get the gold star for the day.
Yeah.
Look at you. Yeah. You know, I'm actually looking that up as we're talking now. Actually, I hadn't ran across that one before. It looks like it's a genetic.
Yeah, I've never seen it either. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a genetic variation. Sometimes they call them like SNPs.
And that's what I mean. You've covered about everything all these years with the show. So, I mean, a lot of these things could just be different terms that some people are choosing to use.
Well, no. Yeah, no, this one's kind of cool. It looks like it's more of a genetic. So, because you do have, you know, with blood sugar issues, like, you know, we talked about. So, you have diet and lifestyle induced diabetes, and you have autoimmune diabetes. And this looks like it's more of a genetic induced. They call it a monogenetic. Huh, interesting. So, yeah, this is more of a genetic diabetes, which that's right. Fascinating because then that can also tell you that you may not be able to cure that one. Oh. Well, now you just gave me a homework. This is fantastic.
Well, you know, like my sister, she was type 1 juvenile diabetic, got it when she was 13. Like I say, did very well for a number of years, but unfortunately a couple of years ago passed away at the age of 62 after several amputations and just many complications there. But she was the only one in our family history that we know of that had any kind of diabetes. And so that was one reason I kind of looked that up about genetic, because I'm just wondering, you know, how much of this can be on the genetic side, but yet hopefully people won't use that as an excuse and won't come in and get some help with you, especially in the type 2, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, so I think what's great, this, you know, we start off the show saying like how great blood work is. And, you know, this is probably something what I'll do is try to figure out like can I test that? You know, because if you can attest it, then that's a third option of diabetes to say, hey, this is genetic. You know, so probably, you know, eating healthy is what you should do, but that's not going to be your fix, you know. And maybe those patients are the ones that need to be on insulin, you know, but still, then you just say, well, let's do the best we can with physiology. So you have to take as little insulin as possible. So basically now you have a lifestyle version, you have a genetic version, and you have an autoimmune version.
Right. You know, I remember my sister when she got this, you know, as a juvenile, I mean, she was very, very thirsty all the time and just wiped out. I mean, what are the symptoms? And we got a couple of minutes here left, but what are the symptoms with the type 1 that people may feel and then the type 2 that people may feel?
With type 1 and autoimmune, again, you're going to see most often you see somebody who's like of normal size and they eat healthy. They're maybe even be an athlete. So Jay Cutler, when he was with the Broncos.
Yep.
So he had type 1 diabetes that showed up one day. Like he was struggling with his blood sugar, and then they figured out that he had type 1 diabetes. Well, that makes sense, right? Because if you get hit all the time and you're causing inflammation and you're training all the time, I mean, could that create an inflammatory response that led to an autoimmune condition? I think it's plausible. So once they got his blood sugar stable, then he did much better. But so that's what you would see is sometimes you see this like fatigue. You see like hypoglycemia symptoms with like shaking, jittery, irritable, anxious. You might see, you know, like swelling, numbness, kind of this like just weird ups and downs. So with autoimmune, it just doesn't ever seem to make sense. And then usually they're like normal size, athletes, healthy type of people. In type 2, what you tend to see is kind of classic with type 2 that you start seeing that insulin resistance. So you see the weight gain, you start seeing like the hair loss, fatigue, they wake up tired, they have a hard time going to sleep, so they'll stay up until like midnight, like flipping through the channels, waiting for that blood sugar to calm down.
Right.
They tend to crave sweets after meals, so they'll have this like awesome, you know, steak and salad and whatever, and then afterwards they're like jonesing for like dessert or coffee or frappuccino or something like that. You tend to see that like that blood sugar is just roller coastering all day long, so they tend to grab for something that's a little bit more sweet, you know, like a pastry or like a sugary drink. So they tend to kind of go after those things.
Sure.
A lot of brain fog and even depression. So like diabetics, you tend to see a little bit more of the depression side, where low blood sugar patients, you'll tend to see more like anxiety.
Wow. Now, the way you see, and just about 2.5 minutes here, but the way you see just the way our dietary standards are today with the young people and youth and all the things. I mean, I went by the other day, I was by a Starbucks near a school, and man, it was jam-packed full of kids, all of them getting the drinks with the whipped cream and all the big things and all the different things you see with the drinks today, the monster drinks, all those kind of things, Red Bull, whatever. I mean, do you think over the next really 5, 10, 15 years, we're just going to see just a nightmare, so to speak, with our young people's health?
I think what's kind of going on right now, I think we're already starting to see some of that. You know, I think with the what's available to kids these days is crazy. I remember when my little sister, she came to visit. She was in high school. And I remember we took her to Starbucks, and she had never been, you know. She was so excited. Where she'd never been. And it was like, and to meet a kid these days that's never been to Starbucks, and not say anything wrong with Starbucks, but
sure,
like, I mean, I don't know a kid that hasn't been there, you know. And it's like, and it's funny because, like, all kids, like, yeah, man, that sugary drink sounds amazing, you know. But I think we have a lot of options now for younger people that's not so great. And I think you're starting to see some of that with some of these health issues that are coming about, so some of the blood sugar instability, the migraines and headaches and fatigue and ADD. And I think a lot of that is diet related that we're kind of seeing in our kids right now. And I think if it doesn't get any better, man, I don't see this course really. I think it's going to go down a bad path.
Sure. What would be the, in 45 seconds here, but what would be the thing you would tell parents? Hey, if you're seeing this in your kids, because I think sometimes, I mean, everybody's busy. I mean, parents are, you know, burning the candle at both ends, so to speak, with work, and kids are doing homework, doing all their sports, whatever. What are a couple of things that people should look for in their kids' behavior, so to speak, to say you might want to get them in and get some blood work?
I think focus, concentration, ADD, sleep issues, and fatigue. So focus, concentration, sleep, fatigue, and then ADD, I guess, kind of falls in that as well. So you got to look for those things. If your kids cannot stay focused and can't stay concentrated, and they're up late, they're tired during the day, and they're usually if their energy system's all over the place, then you know their blood sugar's probably all over the place.
Right. Well, Dr. Stedman, hey, great information. We got a lot more we could cover here, and we'll try to do that on the next show, but we appreciate your time today.
All right, Scott, have a good one.
All right, that's Dr. Shane Stedman, Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation, 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Stedman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.